Today's reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only buying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because you are surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift.
This morning we're looking at this passage from Corinthians, and it's to do with giving, giving to the church and giving to Christian organisations. And that will cover areas of terms like tithing and offerings. We have a generous God, so let us take some time this morning to reflect on the way we deal with our finances, reflect on just how generous we are. God desires his people in every generation to be generous-hearted givers. Jesus declares that our attitude towards money is indicative of the focus of our hearts. As I read at the start of the service from Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is helpful to look at our finances and observe how we spend our money. Our love for God and his work will show up when we examine where and how we spend our income. Service in the church includes many things apart from providing finance: our commitment, time and energy, and the time spent on using our God-given gifts for and on behalf of the church. And I would like to thank everyone this morning for your ongoing commitment to serving the church in whatever capacity. It would be helpful at this point if we looked at some terminology and preconceptions around financial giving. The Bible, both the Old and New Testament, has a lot to say about giving. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded to give around 23% of their annual income in total to support the Levites, to fund celebrations such as Passover, and to help the poor. These commands included two tithes of 10% and a third of a tithe. This giving was a legal requirement under Mosaic law. Not only that, but in addition, on top of the required giving, God directed the Israelites to give free will offerings. In Deuteronomy 16:10, it explains they were to give a free will offering in proportion to the blessings that the Lord your God has given you. So when you add up the legal requirements, they were considerably more than 10%, and that is what's generally quoted when talking about tithing. The free will offerings are probably more similar to the New Testament type of giving. and trying to distinguish between tithings and offerings, it's important to first understand the concept of tithing. Tithing is an Old Testament requirement of the Mosaic Law. After the death of Jesus, the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The New Testament does not command or even recommend that Christians submit to a legalistic tithe system as in the Old Testament. The New Testament does not also designate a percentage of income a person should set aside, but only says gifts should be in keeping with income. Christians today often think that what they give to their local church is a tithe, when in reality it's an offering. Christian tithing is a bit of a misnomer, because Christians are under no obligation to fulfill the command to tithe as given to the Israelites as part of the Mosaic Law. When we're talking about giving, the term income is also not clearly defined. It's quite possible to interpret this in many ways, and it could include such areas as inheritance, gifts, winnings, tax refunds, legal settlements. That's one for each individual to take away and consider prayerfully. Our gifts today are more akin to a free will offering as in the Old Testament. After prayer and consideration, we give as we feel God would have us to. Believers have freedom in this area of worship. As the Lord prospers us, we should consider giving more. There's no set amount or recommendation given in the New Testament. Christians are to give generously, sacrificially, and joyfully. The principle in the New Testament is to give voluntarily to support the needs of others, support Christian workers, and expand Christian outreach. No specific amount is ever commanded, and no percentage suggested. Whilst individuals may believe that a tithe or a tenth of one's finances may be a good standard to use for Christian living, it's clear that the early church did not focus on a specific amount, but rather on meeting the needs of the community. This sometimes included giving much more than a tenth, as some believers sold homes or land to meet the needs that existed in the church. Although no tithe is demanded of the Christian, the New Testament talks about the importance and benefits of giving. We are to give as we are able. Sometimes that means giving more than 10%. Sometimes it may be less. It all depends on the ability of the Christian to contribute and meet the needs of the body of Christ. But it's clear that tithing was part of the Old Testament Mosaic Law for the nation of Israel, not for all mankind. Just as Christians are no longer required to sacrifice animals or observe the ceremonial laws regarding washing and other rituals, neither are we required to give a set percentage of our income, regardless of how it is acquired. The Bible does, however, give some helpful principles to guide us in how we think about and how we deal with money. First principle being God owns everything and gives his things, including money, to whom he chooses. If you consider Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The reality is that all we have is from God. He gives according to his purposes and will. The question should never be, how much of my money should I give away? But how would God have me use his money? The transition of terminology from our money to a realization and recognition it's God's money is an important part of our role in God's plan for this world. In our case as Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. We acknowledge the debt we owe to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. An offering is that which is freely given by Christians to the work of the church for ministries and mission. But offerings are more than simply the collection we may or may not put into on a Sunday morning. We are to offer much more to God than our monetary resources. In Romans 12, verse 1, it exhorts us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, as part of our worship. God is not nearly as interested in our monetary offerings as he is in our submission and obedience. God doesn't need our resources to accomplish his plans and purposes. After all, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and needs nothing from us. What he does desire, however, and what he values, is a heart that overflows with gratitude and thanksgiving to the God who saved us and who gives us all things, knowing our needs before we even ask. Such a heart gives generously, willingly, and cheerfully in responding to the love and grace that abound in Christ. Second principle, how we spend and give away God's money is a fundamental aspect of worship. In Colossians 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus." He commands us to do everything for God's glory, whatever we do, and that includes acts in public or in private. Whenever we spend and give money away, we must be confident that what we're doing glorifies God and honours him. This includes our charitable giving to the church and other Christian ministries. But it also includes what we do with all of our monies that are entrusted to us by God. We need to be good stewards of his money. We could alternatively subtitle this as "Let's not be frivolous and wasteful with God's money." Third principle, giving to the church and the ministry of the gospel is commanded by God. In Corinthians 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul addresses the need for giving. It says, "Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up." Consistent, regular giving to the church and the ministry is a directive of God to Christians. Sometimes we struggle with that, the concept of giving. Even more with giving generously and cheerfully. Particularly when we have pressing needs of our own. Often we have a tendency to think along the lines of we must hold on to what we've earned rather than thinking about giving it away. Our giving is not just to be used for our local church, but it also to support and maintain the spread of the gospel on a more worldwide scale, supporting work in other countries and continents. Four. Giving is to be done with thoughtfulness, sacrifice, generosity, and joy. As we have noted, we are to thoughtfully consider how much we give based on our income. In the passage this morning, verse 7 onwards, it says, "Each one shall give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Thoughtfulness, generosity, freedom, and joy are all part of giving. We are to be cheerful in our giving. It's easy to be joyful when singing praise songs to God. The same joy should be present in our giving. We have a generous God. We also need to be generous in the use of our monies and giving of our God-given resources. Being a giver may not be a natural inclination, but we can learn to be a cheerful giver by studying the greatest giver this world has ever known, Jesus. Jesus left behind his position in the heavenly realm, came to earth and sacrificed his life. Acts 20 verse 35 states, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Therefore, the motivation for cheerful and generous giving should reflect this principle as each of us acts in accordance with Jesus' teaching. Give quietly. Jesus advises against drawing attention when giving, saying, in Matthew 6, verse 3, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He emphasized giving in secret, with the promise that in verse 4, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We do not give to boost our egos or improve our status in society or in kudos. God's reward surpasses human praise, and our reward will be at God's discretion. Finally, 6, give for God's glory sacrificially, generously, and joyfully, and receive blessings. As we have read earlier in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it says, the one who gives generously also reaps generously. Jesus adds in Luke 6, 38, give and it will be given to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. By giving to glorify God, we build up treasure in heaven. Whilst we're not seeking material prosperity on this earth, not expecting a quid pro quo, i.e. we give and then God blesses, rather we trust that God's blessing will come in his timing. So we've looked at some interesting biblical references there. And if we could just take down the slide, that would be great. But what does it mean to the church, specifically here, Woodstock Baptist Church? The church has for a number of years been spending more money than we have coming in. So our outgoings are greater than our income. The annual accounts and report give the details. And for the last financial year, which ended 31st December 2024, there was a shortfall of £5,728. For this year, there is a predicted shortfall of somewhere in the order of up to £10,000. If we were talking about our own household budget, this would not be sustainable and we would need to take action. So how is the church able to continue with running such a deficit? The church has financial reserves built over many years, which are being steadily drawn down year on year to meet this shortfall. The situation is not unusual for us, as we seem to go through the cycle of employing a minister whilst we have the funds available, and then not having a minister when funds reach a certain point. To recover our finances, we then let the manage for a period of time to improve the overall bank balance. And when healthy once more, we appoint a new minister. It's a bit of a simplistic view, I know, but here we have a repeated cycle of actions based on finance. Each of us has different demands in our lives, different priorities, and that includes how we manage our finances. It has been said, and I've probably said before, you can see how important someone's faith is by looking at their bank statement to see where they spend their money. Some will be more able to contribute than others, and my talk this morning is not about making people feel guilty about their giving, but to help identify our motivation for dealing with our income. There are many questions raised around the whole issue of giving to the church and how we utilize God's money. How do I apply it to my situation? What should I give? Where does giving to the church figure in all of this? Giving to other Christian organizations? Is it right not to give to the church? Is there an opt-out clause for special circumstances, whatever they may be? Can I only pay in when I think I have enough money to contribute? Again, the key to all this is regular giving to the church. You may have heard me talk before about the work we did some time ago with Christians Against Poverty. This is CAP for short. And this is a Christian organization that gives a holistic solution to those in debt, dealing often with people who have lost hope, have debts on a scale you may find hard to believe. Bailiffs at the door, in fact frightened to open the door, and more often not, ending up putting bills and demands into a drawer as they can't face dealing with their financial issues. CAP as an organisation takes all the financial details available, bills, debts, money owed to moneylenders, and sorts out the issues. It prioritises debts, negotiates reduced settlements, and produces a workable budget that sets the clients back on their feet, financially, that is to speak. Throughout all of this, CAP support their clients by befriending and providing help to get them through this difficult time. So why do I talk to you about CAP and their clients? Well, as the workable tailored budget is produced for each client, part of that budget is the requirement to give a regular amount to the organisation, albeit small, but regular monthly giving. Why did they do this? Ask for a monthly contribution from what are some of the poorest people around? CAP does it so that it can contribute to the ongoing work of CAP, so that others in a similar situation can benefit from their work in the future. So the clients can have a stake in helping other people in similar circumstances to become debt-free. Forgive me, but I see an obvious parallel with the church, with giving to the church. If you want others to benefit from the presence of our church here in Woodstock, indeed for the church to be here in the future, we need to support the church now. Otherwise, in times to come, it won't be here. You only have to look around and see how many churches and chapels have closed or no longer engage as a place of Christian worship. Woodstock Baptist Church is an independent charity with no source of income other than what is shown on the financial accounts. So that means our primary source of finance comes through regular giving from church members. There is no central funding provided for the upkeep of the church. So effectively, we stand or fall by the members' giving. Looking at some noticeable trends within our own Baptist church here, it's clear that we have a declining, aging congregation with all the additional needs and constraints of an older fellowship. To do nothing, carry on as we have always done, is not an option. If we continue with the slow decline in membership and associated income, as we have seen over the last couple of years, then the church will pass from maintenance mode into one where it no longer becomes viable. Everyone here has a part in God's plan. So in conclusion, and trying to pull together the various threads of this morning's talk, let me first say, it's not all doom and gloom. We have some really good things happening in the church. A far greater engagement with our local communities under Andy's guiding hand. People are growing and maturing spiritually. People are exploring gifting and being involved with many church activities, including small groups. It's often said that as a church, indeed a small church, we are punching way above our weight. So what is the biblical message on giving for Christians? If God is leading you to tithe, by all means tithe. But tithing should never be viewed as a legalistic command. Giving is an aspect of the Christian life, and all Christians should give. Having a set amount would be easier, for sure. That's what makes legalism so attractive. The Christian life is so much easier if we just have a checklist of things to do. God doesn't call us to live by checklists. God calls us to live by faith, a life of faith, and part of faith is sacrificial giving. Believers have to give generously, to give cheerfully, and to give regularly. Believers should pray for wisdom in regard to how much and to whom God would have them make their offerings. Every Christian is a recipient of God's abundant, amazing grace, made known through Jesus Christ and his wonderful gift of forgiveness and redemption. His generosity in showing grace to sinners is our example in life. God's grace poured out on us should be shown in our graciousness towards others. And since God's grace abounds in infinite, unmeasured supply, we who receive it are to show it to others without measure or restriction. The indescribable gift is God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we might live for him and with him forever. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by poverty he could make you rich. He is our role model in everything, including generous giving. Inspired by the lavish outpouring of God's grace in our lives, we ought to always give generous gifts with joy in our heart. Be a generous people in all we do. If you've not heard the recent request for increases to giving to address our shortfall in finances, or thought it might not apply to you, perhaps now is the time to review what you give to the church. If you don't give on a regular basis, then why not formalise your giving? No amount is too small. We thank you to those who have already increased their giving over recent months. So let us be a fellowship who give with thoughtfulness, sacrifice, generosity, and joy. Amen.